There's a song that was released in 2014 that depicts a broken relationship. The singer never directly describes the events that took place. He only paints a picture of the struggle that he has with the individual who his affections are directed toward. He says, "Say something, I'm giving up on you." Perhaps he did something wrong, or perhaps he failed to do something right. In either case, it would seem that there's a strong disconnect between the singer and his beloved, and communication is not readily flowing. But the singer is fighting for the relationship. After noting to his beloved his feeling of abandonment, he affirms his desire to be committed to the relationship. He says, "I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere, I would have followed you." And then you can hear the pleading for the relationship as he once again affirms, "Say something, I'm giving up on you." He's not saying it with a scoff or suggesting that in this situation his beloved is the guilty party, and for that reason he's rejecting his beloved. Rather, he imagines that things could be different, and all he desires is one word, one thought, one moment of confirmation. "Give me something, something that affirms this relationship for me, because I'm giving up." And in truth, from the moment that I first heard this song, I could not help but picture a slightly different scenario. To me, this was not a man singing to a lover, but rather, this was an individual who is crying out to God. For me, the singer grew up in a Christian home, was raised in the Christian faith, has heard portions of the Bible preached, has sung praises to God, was baptized. But then the moment hits. The moment hits when suddenly the absence of God becomes very real. Perhaps one of the most profound occurrences of when a person feels as though God is absent is in the occurrence of death. It could be devastations from natural disasters, desolations as one tribe or nation kills another. But more often, it is something far closer to home. Someone close to the individual dies, and it dislodges the closeness that that individual had with God, and he or she finds themselves perhaps pleading with God, "Say something." I see a generation of people who once thought that Sundays were for more than football, who thought that they were in good with the one who holds the whole world in his hands, who thought that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Even death. But then death struck, and their whole world came crashing down around them. I hear a generation of people crying out to God, "Say something, I'm giving up on you. Why did this happen? How can I live? Where are you? Why aren't you here? Say something." But God doesn't respond in the way that they seek. And what about you? Surely each of you has been visited by death in some way. Perhaps he came to show off his handiwork as millions died in one event. Maybe he made his presence known by taking someone from your church, someone old, someone young, a mother, a son. Maybe he got right up in your face after taking someone so close to you, and you found yourself unable to speak, unable to think. Did you dare question the Almighty? Demand of him an answer? Perhaps you might have even refused to give voice to the emotions that you felt, stifled even the thoughts of the words, lest you find yourself giving up. So much pain and anguish felt in the moment. What could you say? What could be said to you? The book of John speaks of a well-known death. This death even led to Jesus weeping. Jesus is away from Bethany, which is where three close friends, disciples who were not a part of the 12, lived. Their names were Mary, Martha, and their brother, Lazarus. These were the same Mary and Martha who had opened up their home to Jesus. Lazarus is ill, and so Mary and Martha send word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." Perhaps they were hoping that Jesus would save their brother. Perhaps they recalled the stories of how Jesus had healed so many other people of their infirmities, some of these infirmities being present from birth. Surely Jesus could have healed that which had been present for only a short time, as he was able to heal many long-standing afflictions. So they send word to Jesus, noting his love for their brother. But Jesus, being obedient to the Father, waits a little bit longer where he's at. And then 2 days later, he says, "Okay, disciples, now we shall go to Bethany." Lazarus was good and dead by then. Can you picture it? Martha, who not too long ago had worked tirelessly to prepare the house just right for Jesus to come. Martha, who had gone so far as to coerce Mary into helping that she enlisted Jesus to try and help her. Perhaps Martha now is working just as tirelessly, just to redirect the mind to something other than where it naturally wanted to go. She would not ask for any help on this day. And Mary, who not too long ago sat at the feet of Jesus, perhaps with a certain wonder in her eyes, but now with so many people around her, her eyes are perhaps only down, looking at no one. Lest to gaze upon the face of another would cause a welling up of emotion and an outpouring of tears that would never cease. And so she looks down as the talking goes on around her. Perhaps she even missed her sister leaving. But Martha did leave. She had heard that Jesus was coming, the one who had taught so many splendid things to her sister, the one who had taught her as well about what is truly of importance, the one who they had come to believe was the Son of God. He was coming, and he was going to answer for his absence. Martha determinedly walks to where Jesus is, and upon being in his presence, says, "Say something, I'm giving up on you." Rather, she states, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She had not yet fully given up on Jesus, but she notes that if he had been here, maybe she even knew the story of the centurion's servant, who Jesus wasn't even in his presence, but by his authority said the word and he was healed. Perhaps maybe she knew of that story and hoped that Jesus would have done something similar. He didn't even have to come to Bethany. Just say the word. Martha notes that even now, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus replies, "Your brother will rise again." To which Martha says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus states, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Martha goes to Mary and whispers in her ear, "The teacher is here. He is calling for you." And like one coming out of a trance, she springs up and follows her sister to Jesus. Mary echoes the words that her sister had said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, say something." And Jesus asks, "Where have they laid him?" Jesus, upon seeing the tomb, instructs, "Take away the stone." And Martha didn't get it. She says, "Lord, it has been 4 days. There will be an odor. Best for you not to disrupt the dead. If you had been here before, things would be different. But now, death has come, and there's no getting around that." But Jesus insists that they roll the stone away. And then, as they watch in troubled expectation, Jesus says something. "Lazarus, come out!" And he does. Jesus doesn't always raise the dead in the exact same way that he raised Lazarus in John's gospel. Rather, if you ever find yourself through the course of your life being tempted to cry out, God, say something. If you find yourself having death turn your gaze upon the works of his hands, remember that God who spoke to the people of old through the prophets, now in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. His Son who says that, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. His Son who says to you, anyone who drinks of the water that he gives will never be thirsty again. His Son who boldly proclaims that he is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will never die. This same Jesus has defeated death. Death no longer has the final say. God has said something to you from the mouth of the one whom he has made Lord over all. He has proclaimed victory. This victory over death is extended to you by Jesus, the giver of life. He has said to you, and I say again in his name, you will live even though you die. Whenever death shows you those works performed, you loudly proclaim, my Lord has defeated you. Be gone!